getting the same old results? Ready to take your game, your career, and your life to the next level? Fasten your seatbelts, because the next hour is going to change your life. Performance consultant John Brubaker helps you perform your best when it matters most. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Coach Brew Show will teach you why winners win, how the best get better, and the keys to maximize your success.
Welcome to Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show, where we turn potential into performance. I'm John Brubaker, your host, and you're listening to 1510 WUFC Boston and live Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast coming to you from the beautiful studios in Marina Bay. Awesome day to be here with you. Want to learn more about Maximum Success and for a full station schedule with our affiliate show times, you can go to dreamvisions7radio.com. That's dreamvisions, the number 7, radio.com. I know you got a lot of choices out there. I want to thank you for rolling with us today. And remind you, you can interact with the show a number of ways. Email us with questions, radio@coachbrew.com. And we can interact on Twitter, too. My handle is @coachbrew. That's B-R-U. We're talking why winners win, how the best get better, to give you some keys to take your performance to the next level. It's just what we do on this show. And today is a really important show. We're going to be talking about the one thing that is the ultimate home field advantage for you in business and in life. It's also a choice. It's the three most important factors in your performance. And everything else in your life becomes greater when this in you becomes greater. It's leadership, self-leadership, really. They don't teach it in school. It's hungry, and it wants to be fed. It is your confidence. You know, your confidence is one of the essential elements to your performance in anything. It's also a feeling. Feelings can be pretty fleeting. So you've got to actively make changes in your life and control your environment around you to gain, and in other cases, other times, maintain your confidence. So really, today's show is about how to bulletproof your confidence, because you're in a world, I hate to break it to you, where not everyone wants to see you succeed. You've got friends who are trying to keep you down. And they're part of some of the changes you need to make to protect your confidence. There are probably some you need to let go of. Your competition certainly doesn't want to see you succeed. They're going to do everything in their power to make sure you don't. Your critics, the haters, same thing. So when you expose yourself to forces that try and undermine your beliefs, try and undermine your confidence, really those are self-inflicted wounds. So we're going to give you some strategies today to give you a little more confidence, make you a little more mentally tough. And I do believe confidence is the most important aspect of mental toughness. If you don't have that, everything else suffers in your mindset, really in your environment. And you ask, like I said, confidence is a feeling. And you ask any elite performer how they felt while they were performing at their best. They're all going to tell you they felt like the game slowed down. Like everything else is moving in slow motion. Everyone else was moving in slow motion, and they were going full speed. They're going 100%. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because they felt confident. And when you feel confident, you feel in control. You look at the flip side. When you ask performers what they attribute poor performance to, an athlete or salesperson who's in a slump, they're going to tell you, you know what? I just kind of lost the mojo. I didn't feel real confident. I lost the feeling of confidence. And what happens when you lose that feeling? Your performance erodes almost instantly. So your feelings turn into thoughts. And your feelings, a lot of times, are lousy leaders. You think too much about unprotective thoughts, it's going to hold your confidence hostage. And you lose trust in the process that used to work for you, you know? That's really all a slump is. An athlete, a salesperson, someone who performs at a high level and enjoys what they do, had a process that was working for them. And they kind of got off track because they lost trust in that process. Something took their confidence hostage. So I'm going to give you a couple strategies here. I want to remind you the show is brought to you by a couple wonderful sponsors. JJ Threads Custom Dress Shirts. They deliver direct to your door. Check them out at jjthreads.com. And also our friends at Perfect 10 Blazers. They're the largest, most unique range of tailored men's blazers on the market. You can check them out at perfect10.com. That's perfect, the number 10, blazers.com. Perfect10blazers.com. This is going to be a fun show because I think I'm not big on being thought-provoking. I'm very big on being change-provoking. So I want to arm you with some strategies that can change the way you look at your confidence. And that first strategy is, well, let me frame the strategy for you. Many years ago, when General Douglas MacArthur was leading a brigade on the battlefield, he gave an order to secure a hill. And he told his second in command, take possession of this hill. And second command said, okay, I'll get you the most qualified man for the job. MacArthur turned and looked at him and said, no, get me a West Point football player. There's good reason for that. He said that because he knew it's not about being the most qualified. It's about having the confidence to execute under fire and get the job done. So, you know, that story kind of frames this whole strategy. You've got to be battle tested. You become confident by being battle tested. And really the best way to do that is to be physically fit. You know, you think of a West Point football player, you think of, you know, any peak performer in any realm, they're well trained and they're physically fit. So when you can physically challenge yourself, expose yourself to adversity and overcome that, it affects your mindset. You become more confident both physically and also mentally. So I work with a lot of athletes, and you know, I'll ask them, you know, how important is mindset? And they'll say, it's very important. And I'll ask them, well, how much time do you spend training your mind? And, you know, 5% maybe is a common answer. Occasionally someone will say, I spend 10% of my training time into mental training. But most people agree mindset, you know, mental toughness, mental conditioning is hugely important. And, you know, sports, sales, it's all a mental game, but they don't spend the time to train their mind. I would argue you train your body, it adds to your confidence, it adds to your mental toughness, your ability to perform under adversity. But you also have to train your mind, and that's about the thoughts you put in it that create those feelings. So how do you talk to you? Because whether you believe it or not, you listen to you. How do you talk to you? You know, the way you talk to you, it affects your physiology. It affects your posture. It affects, you know, how you walk, how you talk. Give you a great example. Some people call it swagger. I call it walking. Think about when Tom Brady walks into the huddle. If nobody knew who he was, didn't see Brady on the back of his jersey, you didn't see the Patriots logo on the helmet, you didn't see any of the branding that would let you know who he is or what team he plays for. Do you think the other 10 players are waiting for him to bring that play from the sidelines to the huddle? Can tell if he's confident in the play that was called by the coach that he's relaying in, confident in the team's ability to execute it? Absolutely. is his actions, his body language, his demeanor exude confidence. You hear it all the time. Analysts on TV will say, you know, that he's got the quarter, so-and-so has the quarterback walk. You know, really what the quarterback walk is, we all do it every day. You know, and when the quarterback walks from talking to the coach, you know, to the huddle, that's the quarterback walk. He's got to be walking with confidence, projecting a sense of swagger, confidence, to his teammates before he even gets in the huddle and opens his mouth. That's when they're going to buy in. And it's the same for you. When you walk into a building, when you walk into a meeting with a prospect that you want to sell to, they can sense that feeling, that look of confidence, your version of the quarterback walk. They can sense that long before you sit down and open your mouth and try and give them your sales pitch. So it tells a lot about you. You've got to choose not just your words in your sales pitch to the prospect carefully, but what you say to you. You know, are you being authentic, confident? Are you talking to yourself more than you're listening to yourself? You've got to be feeding your mind positive messages. You've got to be advertising to yourself. This is the strategy. Advertise to yourself what you want, not what you don't want. McDonald's sells billions of hamburgers. They also spend $2 billion a year on advertising. Why? Because it works. Their revenue is about $27.5 million a year. They're top of mind. That's why you've got to keep your confidence. You've got to keep what you feed your mind top of mind as well and filter out the noise. We're going to touch a little more on this. Confidence, the one thing that affects all things. We come back and take a quick timeout and don't go anywhere. We've got lots more on this subject when we come back. You are listening to Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show on WUFC Boston and the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Looking for a better way to lead your team and yourself at work? The Coach Approach by John Brubaker is the book for you. Experts are praising the Coach Approach. CEOs are calling it a must-read for leaders serious about taking their performance to the next level. And Hall of Fame coaches are endorsing it as salient, scholarly, and the one book on leadership I'd have if I could have just one. If you want winning strategies to bring about game-changing results in work and life, get The Coach Approach. That's The Coach Approach by John Brubaker. Pick up a copy today at coachbrew.com.
You've only got 7 seconds to make a first impression, so you better dress to impress. That's why I wear JJ Threads custom dress shirts. You can too. Just go to jjthreads.com and choose the exact fit, fabrics, colors, and details of your own signature shirt. Their world-class tailors will make it and deliver it directly to your door. JJ Threads lets you design looks for all occasions, business, nightlife, or casual. Own your style at jjthreads.com. In the sea of sameness, fitting in won't help you win. You've got to stand out to separate yourself from the competition, which is why I wear Perfect 10 Blazers. They've got the largest, most unique range of tailored men's blazers in the market. Their tailors will hand-make original and custom blazers just for you. Everyone's made to order. Wild blazers and sports coats for the sharp-dressed man. Check them out at perfect10blazers.com. That's perfect, number 10, blazers.com. Tell them Coach Brew sent you. You know the Coach Brew Show is all about investing in your success. So I have to tell you, the best investment I've made in my success was hiring strategicofficesupport.com. They manage my website, newsletters, and marketing, so I can work on my business, not in my business. Great teams have great support, so let the folks at strategic office support provide you with the support you need. Invest in your success. Visit strategicofficesupport.com.
Welcome back to Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. I'm Coach Brew, your host, and we're shuffling the deck a little bit here today. Talking confidence, the one thing that affects all things, just moved up our guest in the batting order. So we're gonna downshift a little bit. And if you notice the 80s hair band music, the Motley Crue, well, that was by design. My awesome producer, Brian, realized the guest we had coming on and thought that would be very apropos. Our guest is what I would call an inventrepreneur. He's an inventor and an entrepreneur and someone who certainly doesn't lack confidence. Originally from Maine, and he's now in Los Angeles. You know, some people have a mind for business. I would say Todd really has a head for business in addition to a mind for it. He's Todd Green. He is the CEO and inventor of a revolutionary product, the Headblade. And if you're not part of the head shaving or bald culture, you may not realize what the Headblade is, but just picture this for a minute. Your traditional razor you shave your face with, mated with a Hot Wheels car, and that is what the Headblade looks like. Is that an accurate assessment, Todd?
It's an accurate assessment unless you're talking to a kid because you don't want to say it's a toy, but it's definitely a car-like razor that you drive on your head.
Yeah, you slip it on your finger like you're wearing a ring, and there's a razor attached, and the wheels just sort of serve as your guide. And, you know, Todd, thanks for joining us on the program today. I've been looking forward to this interview for a while, so thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on. And the Motley Crue was kind of a change because I was thinking you'd do maybe a Right Said Fred because I'm too sexy fits.
Well, hey, man, we're like you. We like to do a little different. Everybody's going one direction. We're going to move the other. And
yeah.
I look at you, Todd, as a man who was an inventrepreneur who was a bit ahead of his time. And just to sort of frame the conversation for everybody, you know, you think of some of the famous bald men of our generation, and, you know, if you're a guy, probably the first one that comes to mind is Michael Jordan. It's kind of interesting how Michael Jordan initially began his journey as a person who shaves his head, and that was in 1982. He's playing basketball at the University of North Carolina, and the way he started his season, he wasn't happy with. So he decided he wanted to have a fresh start. So he shaved his head to sort of wash away, it's a symbolic gesture, to wash away the way he started his season. And then he, you know, really became known for that. You know, youth started to imitate him, and guys worldwide began to embrace it. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's a really hip thing to do. And shortly after 1982, you came on the scene, right, Todd? You know, early 90s?
Eventually, Headblade, I came up with the idea in 97, 98,
okay.
And brought it to market in 99. And I think Jordan, you know, he may have been, there is a difference with head shaving with clippers and then shaving with a blade when you go all the way down to the skin.
Absolutely.
So I think when Jordan played for the Bulls, he was still using clippers. And he actually had, I believe, an endorsement deal with a shampoo company. And he had to get rid of that when he decided to shave his head. So people definitely say there's the Jordan effect. And he is the most well-known, famous head shaver. And as a white guy from Maine in my early 20s, back in the early 90s, when I started shaving my head, it was definitely not a popular thing. And I did when I
a man ahead of his time.
Yeah, well, it's definitely when you think about the bell curve, you know, and you talk about early adopters, whether it's technology or new products, I was kind of afflicted with hair loss. And then I kind of thought there have to be other guys like me who are just going to shave instead of the transplants, toupees, and Rogaine kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I think when you look at that, you know, first of all, it is a style choice. And you, by shaving your head, get to redefine the look. You know, it takes a certain amount of dedication to do that. And I think it tends to be a reflection of people and their personalities. Obviously, Jordan, you also look at, you know, Olympic swimmers. It's a reflection of their competitive spirit. It is a style choice. And really what you've done is, you know, there are a lot of razor companies out there. It's a sea of sameness. You know, there's a twin blade, and then, you know, the competitor of the company that invented the twin blade said we're gonna have three blades. So to one up them, keeping up with the Joneses, that other company decided we're gonna have four. And I think it's only a matter of time before one of them decides we're gonna have 18 blades on one razor. But you just said if everybody's going one way, I am gonna go in the complete opposite direction. I'm gonna make something superior to solve a problem.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, there was a Wall Street Journal article in the 90s that said Gillette was both the Porsche and the General Motors of the razor industry. They're both the biggest and the best. Obviously, we know what happened with the recession in the automotive industry. But that was back with the razor wars, where you're exactly right, that Schick and Gillette were just coming out with, you know, two, three, four blades. And that's when The Onion and everybody was doing parodies. Saturday Night Live did a parody of how many blades can you actually put on a handle. But really, the head blade was started as an ergonomic design, so I really didn't get into the razor part because the original head blade used a Gillette or a Schick blade. So it was more about, if you look at Good Grips, you know, the kitchen utensils, that was making an easier, you know, because people who do not shave their head don't understand that dexterity has a huge part or a huge play in shaving. So when you're shaving your face or your legs, you're always using your dominant hand, and you can see, you know, looking in a mirror where you're shaving. And the idea is you don't want your hand to be touching your legs or your face. So the handle helps you. But when you shave your head, you actually need to be able to feel where you're shaving, because when you're shaving the back or you're shaving the other side of your head that's not on your dominant side, you really need to be able to touch and feel where you're shaving. So that's the whole idea, you know, the eureka aha moment of head blade. And it's funny because when I first started shaving my head in the early 90s, you did get where everybody called you whoever the white guy was that shaved their heads, whether you were Right Said Fred or you're a captain. Who's the guy from Star Trek?
Yep.
You know, you're Picard, or you're not Larry David, but there's so many, you know, white guys.
Sure.
And then when Bruce Willis started shaving and Andre Agassi, and then the whole kind of floodgate opened of, hey, you know, head shaving is just a mainstream style.
And I think that, you know, there are an awful lot of our listeners out there who want to do what you do. And what I mean by that is they want to create something so superior that they don't just create a niche, they own the niche, and they create a category for themselves where they don't have to compete. They don't, because really, you don't compete with anybody. You inform people about becoming a part of, you know, the culture, and you attract people who are looking for the solution that the head blade provides. I think in every industry, people want to stand out and attract, as opposed to, you know, try and one up the competition and always be looking over their shoulder. You know, we had Jack Marucci on, who created the Marucci Bat Company, and he started out just trying to make the best wooden bat possible that wouldn't splinter or split, you know, for his eight-year-old son in Little League. And he wasn't competing with anybody else. He's trying to make something so excellent that it would just speak for itself. And, you know, I think that's what you've done with Headblade. You know, obviously I know the story, but if you could share with everyone, first of all, Headblade's in the Museum of Modern Art, and I love how and when you found out about that. If you could share that with everybody, I think it just really speaks to your pursuit of a solution, your pursuit of excellence, and the passion you have for what you're doing. Because you didn't set out to try and get your product in the Museum of Modern Art.
Well, one of the things, you know, like you touched about in your book is having something that's a higher aspiration than winning, where that's not a means to the end. So with a Headblade, I was, you know, like the bat manufacturer, it was necessity is the mother of all invention. So I believed, you know, 110% in what I was doing, and it wasn't for the material gain. It was really to you know, solve a problem. And in the ensuing years, because obviously I was in the beginning of that bell curve, that I created a brand, and it's very different of creating a product or a company, or, you know, there's all these different facets of creating a brand. So it's not just about the product. It's about the lifestyle. It's about all these other intangibles. So when I did find out about the Museum of Modern Art, it wasn't until 2005. So I came out with a Headblade in 99. And what really put us on the map, because when you're that guy with, like, the flying car working in your garage, everybody thinks you're crazy. But then either once it flies or when I first came out with Headblade, people said, oh, it's so great. Why haven't I seen it on TV? Because that was the culture. You know, why isn't it in magazines? Why are you doing it out of your apartment? You know, you're not a big company that, you know, and I would say to people, it's like Nike. Nike started making waffle-soled sneakers that they were selling to track athletes in Oregon. You know, it's not like, boom, out of the box, you're a $100 million
company. Two people selling them out of the trunk of their car.
Yeah, and that's how it starts, and that's how you have your passion, and that's why you're doing what you believe in, and you're taking the risk. So what happened with Headblade was I was still working out of my apartment, and I got a call around that Thanksgiving, and it was from Time Magazine. And they couldn't tell me why they were calling, but they were just calling to check the facts. And they said, you'll be really happy in another month. So Time Magazine called Headblade one of the top 10 designs in the world in 2000. And right from there, it gave me validation and legitimacy. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't believe in what I was doing, but then other people kind of took notice. So the thing about the MoMA, that happened about 2005. And my father, who's my largest supporter and financial backer when I started the company, he was out here, and he was in the warehouse working with me, just helping me put orders together. And I got the letter from MoMA saying that the Headblade was now part of the permanent collection. What that did for me, and I went to Bowdoin, I was a liberal arts major, and I liked to paint and draw. Headblade wasn't started as, hey, I'm a designer and I want to get all these awards. It was the Build a Better Mousetrap. So MoMA, it's something that's going to last forever. You know, it makes Headblade historic, and it's not something you can buy. You know, Gillette, Schick, and all these other razor companies, they can buy awards. They can buy their way into TV magazines. But when there's a general unbiased organization, and as lofty as a museum that puts it in, that really means something. So it was definitely kind of
proof.
A full circle thing.
Absolutely.
And nice to share with my father. Yeah.
Yeah. It's social proof, and that is way more authentic for, you know, whoever will ultimately become, you know, a user, a customer, and really a member of the community. Now, what I find really interesting with every inventor, I've been involved with a few startups, Todd, is the whole concept of protecting your idea. And, you know, I mean, for what I do for a living, I create intellectual property as well. And it's just so interesting because I think for all inventors, you have this fear that, well, I can't sort of unleash this on the public too soon, tell too many people what I'm doing, because, you know, what happens if someone finds out? And
oh yeah,
sort of have that entrepreneurial paranoia. Yeah. I wanted to ask you sort of how you balance that, because I think it's a fine line. How you temper that with, you know, being able to field test it and get it in front of, you know, some users, you know, for feedback, and then also the exposure end of things.
Well, it was definitely, and it's funny looking back, because I went through the same thing you did. When you have this idea, you're afraid to tell even relatives, you know, that someone's going to say something to somebody else, and all of a sudden you're going to see it on the market. And even though fear should not be a motivator, it is in some ways that if you're going to give up on your idea, sometimes thinking that, hey, if I give up on it and then I see it, you know, with Headblade, I thought, if I don't make it, in 5 years down the road, I go to a store and I see a razor that looks just like Headblade or a razor to shave your head, I'm going to be all upset and say, that was my idea. And I do have people that write me that say, I saw Headblade and I was going to invent a razor to shave my head. And you, not that I took their idea, but they're obviously frustrated with themselves that somebody already did it. So
yeah, and you bring up a great point, Todd, because anyone that's ever listened to this show before has heard how we end the show every week, and that's we talk about K minus A equals zero. Your knowledge minus action will get you nothing. And right. You know, 8 out of 10 regrets the people express on their deathbed are regrets that they didn't try and do something, which I think is what makes the entrepreneur such a different breed of animal. You tend not to fear failure as much as an entrepreneur or someone that just works in corporate America. And you're okay with that lack of safety net because you really have a sort of a supreme sense of confidence. And that's what this show's about. It's about talking about confidence to execute and to put yourself out there. You know, what were a couple steps that you had to take that you would either share with us as advice for someone looking to do the same thing, or maybe as a cautionary tale sometimes to teach our listeners?
Well, it's definitely the landscape has changed a lot since I started Headblade, because I actually worked for a Paul Allen company in Seattle, and we did the original launch for ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. So I've been in the electronics, you know, I was an artist for a software company. When I started Headblade, I made my own website, and it was still when people were afraid to buy stuff online.
Yeah.
Obviously now, you could start an internet company with no intention of going to retail, which is an amazing thing that wasn't available 15, 20 years ago. You know, I'm in retail, but to play the retail game, it's pretty hard. You could, through Kickstarter or some of these other campaigns, raise money, start a website, and be off and running. Just like the Coolest. Have you seen the Kickstarter for that cooler?
It's not the cooler. It's the Coolest. That's just a one. Talk about solving a problem. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For people
so
who haven't
they
seen
raised
that,
$14 million. So there's less barriers than ever in terms of if you have a good idea and you want to start a company, there's no better time than now.
Absolutely. And it doesn't, in terms of startup capital, it doesn't take much. You can go on GoDaddy and get a 99-cent website and reserve the domain and tinker away at it in the evenings.
Yeah.
So
I would say the fact that
you take action. Well, what do you see? You know, you have a lot of people contact you. What do you see as the number one thing that sort of holds them back? You know, I think oftentimes it's fear of success. What do I do if this thing really blows up and becomes something huge? What do you see it as?
Yeah, I would say fear of success. I'd say they're just nervous, and it's always difficult when you don't know the obstacles. It's a fear of the unknown. And there's a great website called Let Me Google This For You. Have you ever seen that site?
No.
People write and they ask questions, and sometimes they ask me great questions. Sometimes the questions they ask me, like, there's an internet. You know, if you don't know how to use the internet and you're trying to start a company, you need to have that be your friend. And so Let Me Google This is, it's just a website that looks just like Google. You type in the question, and then it gives you a Google search. But then you send that link to the person, and it shows them a website that looks like Google with a little animation of you typing in whatever question they asked you, and then the Google results. So the thing is, there's so much information, and there's so many forums, so many places, resources, where you can get the information you need because it's out there. You know, and I don't think it's the fear of success. I think people just are so afraid of the unknown, you know, and education is definitely key.
And it's right at their fingertips. That's really, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, I mean, I deal directly with China, and I do my production in China. And originally, I did my production in the U.S., but it's unfortunate. How do I say? A, in some ways, it's unfortunate how much manufacturing is going on in China, but to be competitive, you have to. And I originally started production in the U.S. for a couple of years. And when I took it to China, it actually was higher quality and less expensive. But you have to learn how to navigate through that. And with the technology today, you can make rapid prototypes in the U.S. You can get 3D printers. So there is really no time constraints or language constraints in terms of making your prototypes and getting your products to where you can actually put them into production. That's changed dramatically in the last 10 or 15 years.
Which also means there's really no excuses for folks. So if you just joined us, you're listening to Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show, and we're joined by Todd Green, CEO and founder of Headblade. And Todd, you know, confidence, I think, is the one thing that affects all things. It's a choice. How do you, you go from, your idea and launch to startup to growth. How did you protect your confidence as you're hitting all these unknowns and speed bumps and landmines in your journey? What'd you do for you to protect your confidence?
I've always been fairly confident in who I am and not really afraid of risks, but I lead a very simple life. So I don't like the whole emotional roller coasters, and because of the job, there are so many. There are things that you can't control. Just like I think your book talks about the things that you can't control and the things you can.
Absolutely.
So I can't control some of the externalities of what I face, for whether competition or retailers or, that market trends or the recession. But I actually keep my personal life very simple. So I enjoy traveling, I enjoy reading, I enjoy cooking, and I live right down on the beach, but I have a small, tiny apartment. I live very simple. So for me, I'm not juggling two different worlds, which I know when people actually come to me and they say, I'm either on a fixed income or I'm married and I have kids and I do this and I'm trying to start a company. For me, that is a lot. So if you got to be able to control the things you can. And for me, it's controlling my personal life and then concentrating on the business.
Absolutely. It's great advice for anybody, entrepreneur or not, inventor or not. You focus on the things you can control, let go of the things you can't, and you're going to be better because of it in whatever industry you're in. Todd, we're going to get ready to take a quick time out. I want you to stick with us through the break here. And when we come back, dive a little more into sort of this category of one that you've created. You've created a category for yourself, and there are ways that interesting ways you've expanded the brand, yet stayed true to the core of who and what Headblade and the Headblade community is about. So we're going to touch on that when we come back. You're listening to the Coach Brew Show, Maximum Success, and I want to remind you that you can connect with the show in a couple different ways. On Twitter, you can reach us at Coach Brew, that's Coach BRU, and keep the emails rolling in, questions, comments, radio@coachbrew.com. And when we come back, we are going to dig a little deeper into having the confidence to branch off in some slightly different directions with your business with Todd Green, the founder of Headblade. Listening to Maximum Success in WUFC Boston and the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. I'm a model, you know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk.
Looking for a better way to lead your team and yourself at work? The Coach Approach by John Brubaker is the book for you. Experts are praising the Coach Approach. CEOs are calling it a must-read for leaders serious about taking their performance to the next level. And Hall of Fame coaches are endorsing it as salient, scholarly, and the one book on leadership I'd have if I could have just one. If you want winning strategies to bring about game-changing results in work and life, get The Coach Approach. That's The Coach Approach by John Brubaker. Pick up a copy today at coachbrew.com.
In the sea of sameness, fitting in won't help you win. You've got to stand out to separate yourself from the competition, which is why I wear Perfect 10 Blazers. They've got the largest, most unique range of tailored men's blazers in the market. Their tailors will handmake original and custom blazers just for you. Everyone's made to order. Wild blazers and sports coats for the sharp-dressed man. Check them out at perfect10blazers.com. That's perfect, number 10, blazers.com. Tell them Coach Brew sent you. You know the Coach Brew Show is all about investing in your success. So I have to tell you, the best investment I've made in my success was hiring StrategicOfficeSupport.com. They manage my website, newsletters, and marketing, so I can work on my business, not in my business. Great teams have great support, so let the folks at Strategic Office Support provide you with the support you need. Invest in your success. Visit StrategicOfficeSupport.com. You've only got 7 seconds to make a first impression, so you better dress to impress. That's why I wear JJ Threads custom dress shirts. You can too. Just go to jjthreads.com and choose the exact fit, fabrics, colors, and details of your own signature shirt. Their world-class tailors will make it and deliver it directly to your door. JJ Threads lets you design looks for all occasions, business, nightlife, or casual. Own your style at jjthreads.com.
Welcome back to Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. We are we're rocking out to a little 80s hair band music here in the studio with our friend Todd Green, CEO of Headblade. And I want to remind you, Coach Brew Show is brought to you by a couple wonderful sponsors, our friends at JJ Threads, Custom Dress Shirts. World-class tailors will make and deliver their dress shirts directly to your door. Go to jjthreads.com. And also our good friends at Perfect 10 Blazers, the largest, most unique range of tailored men's blazers in the market today. Check them out, perfect10blazers.com. Coach Brew Show is all about turning potential into performance. And that's what we're doing today with Todd Green, CEO of Headblade, who's going to talk to you a little bit about, he's created this category for himself. I think, you know, you're either different or you're invisible in the market today, in whatever industry you're in. And, Todd's created a razor that's so remarkable. There's nothing like it. And Todd, you've also started to branch out with some, I guess you'd call them accessory products, which really, you know, for any other business owner, it's an alternate revenue stream as well. And if you just kind of take us through the philosophy on that and when and why the time is right to do it.
Okay. Well, when I started Headblade, and it's funny because I'm an artist designer, you know, I went to a liberal arts college in Maine. And when I started Headblade, it was all about creating the Headblade and getting it to the market. And the original Headblade used a Gillette or a Schick blade. So really it was a one and out. You buy the Headblade and then maybe you come back to Headblade in a year or 2 years. But over the first year and a half, I realized, you know, I want to create a brand. And color was very important. Design obviously was very important. And then we created the logo. So in creating all these, like part of the brand and the lifestyle was, A, we wanted to come out with Headblade created head care. So there's skin care that people understand. There's hair care, which people understand. Head care is, you know, it kind of bridges the gap. It's skin care for your head. So I knew there was, hey, we got to come out with a shave cream because that's natural. That's something that everybody that shaves their head, obviously everybody that buys a Headblade needs shave cream. Then it became the whole head care system. So that was a way to support the original Headblade to create a family of products, and to grow the brand. Over the years, we've evolved the head blade. We've come out with new head blade designs. We've come out with new blades. So we have the repeat purchases. We have the shave creams, moisturizing lotions. We have had sunscreens in the past. So that's a proliferation of the family of products. And then because the logo, you know, you can't tell if somebody's a head blader because they don't wear a head blade. You know, they shave their head, you see somebody. But really, because people love the logo, which is a very simple logo based on yin-yang, people identify with it, and it's a very powerful logo. So we've created a lot more accessories and apparel, you know?
And you touched on just a second ago, and you said it was a one-and-out product. And now really what you've done is you've created a community where you have not just a physical connection with customers, repeat customers, but there's this emotional connection as well, isn't there?
Well, there definitely is. And in creating Headblade, I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of different people who shave their heads for a lot of different reasons. I mean, there's people that shave for performance reasons. You know, there's a lot of athletes. We do a lot with MMA. We sponsor a lot of fighters. But we've also done stuff with, like, St. Baldrick's, you know, childhood cancer research. Mm-hmm. And when people shave their heads, some people shave their head because they love how it looks. Other people shave because maybe they're losing their hair. Because Headblade now represents, and I look at this where you mentioned bald earlier, and I didn't say anything about that, but there's a difference between bald and shaved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
one's a choice.
Because of the books that you write and your mentality, you'll understand that one's very passive. You know, one's attrition. One's something happening is to you. You're balding. You're losing your hair. You're like Charlie Brown, where you're always the brunt of all the jokes. You know, that's why the infomercials late at night, they prey on your insecurities. Balding for a lot of people and hair loss for a lot of people is an insecurity. So when you shave your head, you've taken something very passive and you made it active. You embraced it. You've taken a negative and created a positive. So the whole thing about the Headblade logo, it's so empowering. So people will wear our logo, wear our shirts, wear our hats because it's saying, you know what, I'm proud of who I am and I'm a Headblader. You know, I shave my head and I believe fully in the look.
So the takeaway for a business owner is how can you create and recreate really that feeling with your product, with your service, where A, people are proud. Because when they're proud, they're going to be your biggest promoters, your biggest advocates, and B, you're going to give them confidence. It's like Todd said, it's empowering. I think, you know, shaving your head is indeed different than being bald because shaving your head's a choice. Just like confidence is a choice. It's something you got to wake up in the morning and choose to do. You choose to be confident just like you choose to shave your head if you're so inclined. Todd, what's next for you? We got a couple more minutes. I just really want to find out, you know, being a creative person, you probably have all sorts of different ideas that you're trying to decide, well, which is going to be the one that I really act on? What's next?
Well, right now, you know, we have had clippers in the past, and I think that's something that we need to get into again because in terms of the industry of hair care and head care, a lot of people use clippers, and they consider themselves head shavers. And when I first started the company, there was a huge delineation between wet shave, dry shave. Once, let's say, Gillette put a battery in a Mach 3, that became an electric razor. You wouldn't consider it an electric razor, but it's an electric razor. Once Philips, you know, started making those electric shavers that you can use in the shower. So really, the whole hair care, head care space has become the more do-it-yourself, the DIY. So Headblade needs to embrace guys like, you know, Jason Statham, you know, the transporter guy, you know, guys who use clippers but consider themselves head shavers. So really, that's what Headblade's going to be looking at in the next year or two because that opens up a much larger community of do-it-yourself hair care, head care guys. And we already have the brand and the look and the logo and the name. So it's really just opening up the gate to a larger audience.
Absolutely. And that's great wisdom for anyone. Well, Todd, where can we learn more about you? This has been an awesome interview. I definitely want to bring you back soon. Where can our listeners learn more about you guys?
You can go to headblade.com. Then you go to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Headblade. We're located in Los Angeles. And I'll tell you, we have a lot of guys who visit Los Angeles, and then they get our address, which is on our website, and they come visit. You know, it is a community. So we're more than happy to entertain Headbladers, have them visit the facility, but obviously go online to headblade.com, and you can find out more about Headblade. You can purchase our products at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Aethys, Nexcom. There's a retailer site on our website.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'll be out your way in a couple of weeks, and we'll definitely have to connect while I'm there. Todd, it's been awesome having you again, folks. Go to headblade.com. Check them out. It's just a revolutionary product. I use it. I love it. And I wouldn't steer you astray, folks. Thanks again, Todd.
Thanks, Coach Bro.
So we got a couple more minutes. I want to put a bow on all this for you because there's so many actionable strategies that Todd Green just gave you. What do you do? Where do you go from here? You know, be confident to take a couple of these strategies that he used and he continues to use in his business and execute them yourself. You know, he didn't just decide he was going to create a product. He created a whole category. He didn't just want a good product, a good razor. He wanted to solve a problem. You know, there are, I look at it kind of like, you know, I look at the insurance industry, lots of insurance providers, but there are only a few who really specialize in, say, long-term care insurance, and they solve a problem for a specific, smaller percentage of the population, but a specific niche or category, you know, within your market, within your population. You can do the same thing regardless of industry, and often by specializing, you know, you're going to tap into a group of people who are going to be more passionate about what you have to offer, more loyal, and with that will come referrals, recommendations, and you can't put a price tag on that. You know, look at the lifetime value of your customer, and, you know, biggest thing is pick a lane, stay in it, which is exactly what he's done, you know. I think that's the first thing you can do because there are absolutely riches in niches, folks. And it's just finding the right niche that you can create something remarkable that solves a problem because people pay you for three things. You either solve a problem for them, you save them time, or you save them money, or some combination thereof of those three. So what's it going to be for you? Because there are riches in those niches. And the second thing he talked about, which I think is important, is the ability to sort of see around corners or have some vision into the future. And he realized that, you know, they aren't currently serving as many people as they could, which I think we'd all agree, you know, in my audience, your client base, if you're listening right now, you're not serving perhaps as many people as you could. You know, there are people that use clippers who consider themselves head shavers. He wants to capture that audience. So within your niche, how can you create a strategy to capture that audience that you're not reaching just yet and bring them into your community? It's that simple. Take those two strategies and execute them. Start today. And it starts with an idea and just seeing it through by taking action. It's exactly what he did. He could have left that idea on the table and someone else would have taken and run with it. So you don't want to look back with regret. I want to thank you again for tuning in to Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show, joining us today. And we appreciate you. We know there are a lot of choices out there. Stay in touch with us. Number of ways, email, radio@coachbrew.com, and on social media. Again, Maximum Success. We turn your potential into performance. And take the information and apply it because knowledge minus action equals zero. We'll catch you next time around. You're listening to Coach Brew and Maximum Success on WUFC Boston and the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Just experienced Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show, bringing you success strategies from the locker room to the boardroom. We coach you to get to the next level in the sport of business and the game of life. Join Coach Brew every first Sunday at 6 p.m. to learn how to perform your best when it matters most. For more resources to turbocharge your performance, check us out at MaximumSuccessRadio.com.